It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. In honor of Women's History Month, Atlanta's Center for Puppetry Arts pays tribute this week to the women of the Jim Henson Company. Fran Brill was the first female puppeteer that Henson hired for Sesame Street, and you might recognize her playing this lovable character.
My name is Zoe, and I'm proud, I'm proud, I'm proud, and what I'm proud about, I'm gonna tell you right out loud. I can spell my name.
So Fran Brill's role, Zoe, was just one of many characters she played on Sesame Street before retiring from that series. She joins me from our Savannah studio. Hi there.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. I heard you say that before, it wasn't until relatively recently that you thought about being the first female puppeteer.
Yes, and in all fairness, there was Jane Henson, who of course worked
right.
with Jim from the beginning, and she did do Sesame Street the first season. I hooked up the second season, but I was like the first bona fide hiree, which no, never even occurred to me. It never even occurred to me that I was sort of one of the guys for the longest time. I don't know. I guess I'm weird. I don't know.
Well, I know, because I keep imagining that first day walking onto the set, and it's all guys. Well, at least underneath the puppets.
Yeah, but you know what? I just didn't think about it. It really didn't hit me. I was lucky enough that they were very kind to me because they all were very good puppeteers, the core group, and I had never played with a puppet in my life before I got hired. This would never happen today. But I had all the other tools that Jim was looking for in a female puppeteer, and then I learned how to manipulate very quickly, you know, with everybody's help. But they were just super to me, and it was just the greatest thing in the world. I mean, I guess to be the only female amongst this incredible group of hysterically funny, wonderful men.
Well, many people know you for Zoe, but let's hear from another character that you voice, which is Cammy, and that was the first HIV-positive Muppet.
The other children at school don't want to play with me because I'm HIV-positive. They say they don't want to touch me because they think I will make them sick.
Oh, but Cammy, we all know you can't get HIV just by touching someone or by being friends with them.
What do you make of Sesame Street's role in these more difficult conversations?
Well, this clip you played was from Takalani Sesame, which is the African version of Sesame Street. You know, there's like 175 productions of Sesame
yeah.
Street all over the world, and they all cater to a specific social or environmental or educational problem in that world.
Let me play another clip, because it's basically the same topic, which is about the responsibility of handling difficult subjects. And this clip relates to that, and it's from 2009. Sesame Street did a primetime special because of the Great Recession. It was called Families Stand Together, Feeling Secure in Tough Times. And in this particular clip, we're actually hearing you playing the role of Elmo's mom.
Ah.
Why isn't Mommy at work today?
Well, darling, there's something your daddy and I want to talk to you about.
Come on, sit over here, son.
Okay.
Sit down.
Okay,
here.
Daddy.
Right. Now, you see, yesterday I lost my job, and I'm not going to be working, at least for a little while.
Is it because Elmo has too many toys?
Oh, no, baby. None of this is your fault.
It's nobody's fault. This is just something that happens in families sometimes.
So how carefully do you have to tread in with subjects like this when it may be for kids the first time someone's talking directly to them about a subject like AIDS or
well,
a family
yeah,
member?
Yeah, that's a great question. All I can tell you is that there is a tremendous amount of research that goes into every script. You get a lot of very smart people together and talented writers, and the script is read over and over and over again before we performers, you know, get to shoot it. We also, Elmo's mom and Elmo's dad and Elmo did another show where they were talking about the military and that, you know, how do children deal with a parent who's, you know, doing service in a country far, far away. We never said what country it was, but Elmo's mom and Elmo were Skyping Elmo's dad.
Elmo sure has daddy.
Oh, good. Well, so have I. And I think about you every time I do. But you know what? Pretty soon, we'll be able to say goodnight to the moon together again. I'm coming home real soon.
Really?
Go! Where are you going, son?
Well, Elmo wants to get everything ready when Daddy gets home. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
We'll help.
You know, it's wonderful. I think it's what makes me the proudest of being a part of this show is that I feel like, well, I did something with my life. It's great that people are affected by this and children grow up feeling safer, perhaps, because subjects that are difficult to talk about are dealt with. Adoption, blended families. I mean, they're dealing with all sorts of heavy-duty stuff.
Let me play one more clip because I wanted to ask whether there's extra pressure for you being connected with Sesame Street. This is Jim Henson. He was inducted into the Television Academy Hall of Fame in 1987, and this is just a little clip of his speech.
Of course, television is already one of the most powerful influences on our culture, but because it is so powerful, there's a great deal of responsibility that goes with that. And I think those of us who make programs, particularly for children, have to be aware of what we're putting out there. And I think this is what is fun for me and why I'm very grateful for this very special honor. So it makes my work, or rather my fun, so gratifying.
He says that's what makes it fun. Is there no, do you not feel extra pressure because of the impression you may be making?
No, not really, because you're just doing a script, you know. You don't even think about who this is for. You're just there, you're doing the script and doing the best you can with your character and whatever. But I love that clip of Jim's you just played, because this is what was so wonderful about him, is that he looked at television as a force for good. You know, not a force for bad or anything. Everything he touched in his life was to make life better because of his compassion for everybody. You know, what can I say? That's Jim right there. But no, I don't. In fact, many times on Sesame Street, something would be very funny, and we didn't want to lose the laugh because it wasn't quote unquote educational enough. We always were there to entertain. Okay, it wasn't a matter of whether we were doing a show for adults or children. You never thought about that ever. You never said, okay, this is Sesame Street, so we're going to perform for children. We were like comedy sketch performers. We just did the sketch. And never once did we even think, oh, this is way over their heads. You know, the script is what we had, and sometimes we'd fiddle around with it, but we just played it like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
I'm speaking with Fran Brill. She was the first female puppeteer hired by Jim Henson to work on Sesame Street, and she will be at Atlanta's Center for Puppetry Arts this weekend for an event celebrating the women of the Muppets. Do children, I have to expect that children often assume you're basically Zoe, right? When they hear you talking?
No, I mean, they don't know anything. I think it's so funny when an adult woman, you know, pulls over her three-year-old child and she says, oh, honey, look, this is the lady that does Zoe. And they look at me, and I'm not 3 years old anymore. I haven't been three for a long time. But they look at me, and it's like, what? You know, and then she says, oh, do the voice. So when I do the voice, and I talk like that, they go, oh, my gosh, it's Zoe! You know, so I'm sorry, the mics probably just
that
blew out
awesome.
Over there.
No, that's awesome.
You know, I'm also involved in something else right now, which is a documentary that's being released on March 16th called Muppet Guys Talking. I don't know if you've heard of it, but Frank Oz got together a bunch of us oldie-timey people, and we showed this film, premiered it at the South by Southwest Film Festival last March. And the response was overwhelming, and now you too can see this film on the website, MuppetGuysTalking.com.
I assume that since you're involved, guys is non-gender specific.
I am proud to be a guy. I've always said I'm proud to have been one of the guys, that they treated me equally. You know, if they treated me differently or treated me, you know, or looked down on me or whatever, that would be a whole other story. But no, I did say, shouldn't this be called, you know, Muppet Guys and a Gal? You know, just kidding around. And Frank Oz said, oh, Franny, no, we think of you as one of the guys. You know, so I'm proud.
So let's talk about another aspect. Because you were a classic, you still are, but a classically trained actress.
Yes.
And so I tried to imagine what it must have been like to suddenly be working full-time as a puppeteer, which must have been quite a transition. But then there was also this added thing.
Elmo's got something that you want. So he's got something that Elmo wants. Put both somethings together and share.
I'll take my something that you like. You take your something that I like. Then put both things together and share.
So did you plan to
That's so sweet.
Sing?
I haven't heard that in 100 years.
I feel like you're exaggerating. But did you expect to be working at a job where you'd have to sing quite as much as you did?
Oh, I was thrilled because I made my Broadway debut in a musical.
Yeah.
No, I love, well, my I will say that what I one of the things I miss most
I should mention
retired,
that musical was Red, White, and Maddox.
That's
yeah.
right. I miss most recording. Gosh, I love to get into the studio and record these songs. That was so much fun. And I miss the singing and harmonizing and all of that. And you know, back when we first started, Jim and Frank and Jerry and Richard, we all used to get in the same studio and sit on a stool and record together. But, you know, after years and years, that stopped, and everybody would just come in and record, you know, the you know, stuff they have to do with the engineer. So it wasn't quite the same. But in the early days, that was an enormous joy because we just laughed and laughed and laughed and had such a good time. But anyway, I do miss the recording. It's cool. No, I never expected to do any of this. Please. I just tripped and fell into this job. Trust me.
So why do you think Sesame Street has such staying power? I mean, I'm 48. I watch Sesame Street pretty much every day when I got home from school.
Do you still watch it?
I don't. But I did with my son and enjoyed it when
That's
he was
wonderful.
That age. Why does Sesame Street last?
Oh, you know, it's the gold standard. It appeals to adults primarily. I mean, I mean, of course, to children. But the fact that it was intended for a caregiver or a parent to sit and watch the show with the child and explain things, that's why we have celebrity guest stars that appear on the show, so that will, you know, grab the attention of the adult. And it has never, in all these years, tried to talk down to children. It's funny, but there's never a, oh, yes, you know, it's just not, there's nothing babyish about it.
Or mean.
Oh, never mean.
Never makes fun of anybody.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, and I mean, again, Jim was just part of this team of brilliant people, John Stone, Joan Ganz Cooney, who created Sesame Street, but the Muppets, I can tell you, they are ironic, edgy, but never cruel, never mean. Oh, no. None of us would ever go there. We might, with the puppets not on us or in an outtake, but not never, you know, just to make each other laugh. But no, there's no meanness in the Muppet world. Uh-uh. And I love that, too. You know, I mean, no, there's no bullying. There's no... That doesn't exist. And Sesame Street does deal with bullying. We've had several shows about that. And, you know, it deals with all these topics.
Do you miss Zoe?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. In fact, I think I'm fairly annoying, though I don't do it all the time. But once in a while, I'll talk to my husband as one of my people. And He just sort of rolls his eyes. But yes, I miss doing them terribly because I have like 1,000 people inside me. And that was the joy of being a Muppet, in that I would never be able to play all those characters in a lifetime on the stage or in films or TV. But on Sesame Street, I could just pick up a puppet and do whatever crazy voice or person came to mind. I have this Mrs. Crustworthy, who I really, really like to do, who sort of sounds like she's drunk, but actually it's because her dentures are slipping. So I'll do Mrs. Crustworthy around the house sometimes. I mean, it's sad. It's sad. I know it's sad.
It is not. It is objectively not.
No, this has been a joy. That my life has been fabulous, and just to have been part of this world, I consider I'm one lucky chick.
Fran Brill was the first female puppeter hired by Jim Henson for Sesame Street. She will be at Atlanta's Center for Puppetry Arts this Saturday at 7 p.m. It's an event celebrating the women of the Muppets. Fran, it's been an honor. Thank you so much.
Oh, Celeste, likewise. Thank you.
Just a programming note, tomorrow we'll talk with Sonia Manzano. She played Maria on Sesame Street for more than 40 years, and we will hear from Carol Spinney, who you might know as Big Bird. That's our show for today, but we would love to hear from our Sesame Street fans. Who is your favorite Sesame Street character? Mine is definitely Grover, and the book, The Monster at the End of This Book, was my favorite as a kid. So who was yours? You can call us at 404-500-9457. We're also on Twitter. It's at OST Talk, or find us on Facebook. For today, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headlee. Have a great day.